Most question I've ever thought of, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful evening, Lord, that you have allowed us to assemble together to study your word, Lord. Heavenly Father, we have been talking about the subject of prayer, Lord, and we are coming to you right now as humble as we know how, asking that you place your blessings upon this evening's class, Lord, that you will bless the teacher, Sister Velma Sanders, and her filling for tonight, Sister Lana Smith. Lord, we just thank you and give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord, for without you, none of this will be possible, Lord. We thank you for helping us to navigate our way through each and every day that we face, Lord, and Father, knowing that you are always with us, Lord. We just thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, Lord. We ask that you forgive us for those sins that are not acceptable in your sight, Lord. And Father, we just love you and praise you and give you all the honor and glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Sister Marcia. Good evening, everyone. You're sure
welcome. Good evening.
It's good to see everyone, and good to see you. Good to see everyone.
Yeah.
To have gotten the call that I was on tonight, I'm like, now, y'all know how excellent Sister Velma is. I am a far cry from that, okay? We're going to do our best and go whichever way the Lord is leading us to go. Yeah. And what's really ironic, these particular scriptures are the ones that she had given me to do. So it's like it fell right on time. I kind of studied my part so I would at least look good. I didn't expect to look good all the way through, y'all, but we go get through this tonight.
Yes.
The Lord. So if everybody is in, we're picking up in Luke chapter 18, and my verses was 15 through 17. And at first, what is really funny, after everybody else got more than me, and this is all Sister Galvell McGinney was my three verses, I'm like, oh, okay. And lo and behold, I am doing the whole lesson, okay, y'all? So you got to be careful what you say. You got to be careful. But anyway, we're going to go on and muster through this. Verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in." Now, let's go back to that verse 15, as the infants were coming. And of course, he also includes children. But it's like, why are the children so important to Jesus? We already see what the disciples thought of this. To them, it was like, well, we ain't got time. You know, he got bigger and better things to do than to be bothered or worried with children. But Jesus stopped them, specifically saying, don't stop these children from coming unto me. So let's see, what is the importance of these infants and children? Could somebody find for me Matthew chapter 18, verse 13? Want to look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 13. Somebody tell me when you got that.
I have it, Sister Lana.
Sister Marcia, would you read that for me, please?
Matthew chapter 18, verse 13. And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray.
Okay, Marcia, was that 19, verse 14? I'm sorry, Matthew 19, 14?
No, that was, you said 18.
Oh, I'm sorry. Make it Matthew 19, 14. Matthew, it's almost the same as what we just read.
Okay, and chapter 19, yeah. Verse 14.
Yes.
But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven."
Okay, notice Matthew is calling them children, whereas Luke is referring to them as infants, but it's stating like it's both the children and the infants. Now, when an infant is coming to Jesus, they're in the arms of a parent. So that's letting you know the parent already knew who he was and the importance of them to get their child to Jesus to be blessed, just for him to touch that child was very meaningful to that parent. Okay, and if somebody would give me, okay, along with what it is, the importance of the children, what is it for the parent? What is upon the parent to do with that child? If somebody would find me Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Let me know when you got it. Anybody?
I got it, Sister Lon.
Okay, could you read that for me, please?
22 verse 6.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it says, train up a child. This is Sister Catherine here. Sister
uh-huh.
Okay. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. That is something that is on the parent, the importance of a child. Has anybody lived through that or have seen that really happen with your child? Bringing them up in church, but something about once they get older, get grown, and can make their own choices and go their own way, there is still something in them about the Lord. Anybody got an example of that one? I got a good one. But anybody else before I give mine? Bringing that child up, starting in church.
Anybody? I brought my children up in the church. Once they went off to college and experienced a few things, they strayed away. But I can say now that my youngest is fully engulfed in learning the word of God. And he even had went through a period where when he was attending UNO, there was some religious group that approached him and told him that the Christ was somebody named Christ An Sung Hong. And I actually went through that experience and just about lost it. So I was like, what are you talking about? So I said, okay, well, let's go check out Christ An Sung Hong. So I went to the church and visited, and they were very welcoming and warming and had a little dinner and everything. But when it came time to go to their little service or whatever, if I wasn't a member, I couldn't go in. So my son got to see me have to leave and him enter into the sanctuary. And he saw there, like, why come my mom can't come, you know? So it kind of made him think twice again. But he did come out of that and realize that that was not the Christ that he was supposed to be worshiping. And he is now doing well in his relationship with the Lord.
Okay. Oh, that was a good one, Marsh. Anyone else? Well, let me give mine real quick. I have, you know, there's always that one. And I had that one, which was the middle child. Shannon was the middle. Well, he had got so grown and caught up and considered himself an OG. He was OG. And so we had a conversation at one time, because I'm like, okay, Shannon, you're going too far. You know, me and Dad just been praying on you. You got to get back. I'm going to tell him how he needs to get back, forgetting what the scripture had said. All I could do is train you up, bring you up in the word. And from there, it's on you, especially when it's time for them to make their own choices. So he told me, I think I'd stayed on him so long and had to tell the Lord, Lord, let me lay off, because he's still in your hands. However it goes, Lord, he's still your child. So one day he told me he had called and we were talking and it had been trouble on the horizon for him. He said, Mom, you got to remember now, I am a faith-based gangster. I said, you a what? And he said, I'm a faith-based gangster, Mom. Everybody know I'll pray. I'll pray in a minute. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know you're going to pray if the popo come for you. You know, I know you're going to pray then. No, Mom, you don't understand. Boy, when we need prayer, they know I can call him up. I said, boy, well, that's good to know. Even in the midst of all that, he still did know the Lord. In the midst and in spite of all of that, he still knew the Lord. So it makes a difference when we do bring our children up. Sometimes it looks like they might not get back there, or they don't remember nothing of what they learned. But over a period of time, the scripture always comes to pass. The scriptures don't lie. So now, okay, now I need, did anyone else have any comments on that before
we leave? I say, man, along with the comments we've already heard, and I'm sure most of us that have children realize it's good to bring them up in the church. And yes. It's good that this scripture is there for us to see, and Jesus to tell everyone, bring the children to me. Bring the infants to me. That's the little babies. They're never too young to bring to him. And then he draws them close to him. And I'm glad that as a child, I had parents that took me to the Lord, because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior as a child. And I am very thankful for that. I heard things and I believed things way back as a little child. Didn't understand all of it at that time. In fact, just a couple of days ago, I was remembering as a child how we used to sing at Easter. We'd have early morning Easter service, and I can remember one of the little children sung, "Heroes, heroes, heroes, heroes." We were just singing, "Heroes, heroes." I'm not sure I understood the fullness. I didn't understand the fullness at that time, but I can remember the words, and I can still remember, you know, it was good to be brought up myself as a child. Then as Sister Smith was mentioning about her children and bringing up in a child as children, I was thinking about my children were brought up in the church, and I'm not going to take too much of your time, but I wanted to share, I brought them all up in the church, and I want to focus on Roger, like she focused on Shannon. Shannon and both Roger, they were close in age. They both gone home now. Right now, I know from the time Roger left this world, I could say Roger is where I am trying to be. Yes. Now, I remember Roger was young, and he would go to church. I'd take him to church, and he'd go to sleep. And, you know, he'd lay back, go to sleep, and all that, you know, what parents have to go through. But when he became a young man, he came back to the church on his own. He wandered out there a few years. He had some experiences in life, you know, in military for a short time and different things. But I'm so thankful that he came back to church before he died and before he got sick, too. And even at the time when I was thankful that God released him from that horrible disease he had to go through, but I didn't grieve as if I hadn't known that he knew Jesus. Yes. And at the time in his sickness, he said, "I wouldn't wish this sickness on anybody, but I've seen things that I would have never been able to see." And even after he passed, I was always able to tell everybody, and I can say it today, Roger is where I am trying to get there. Okay, yeah. I think I've said enough. Thank you.
Anyone else need to add to that before we move on? Thank you, Sister Gates.
I would like to add one thing. And hello to everybody. This is Carolyn. You know, and I can go, I could add, you know, the kids and all of that, but I can go a little bit farther than that. We were raised in the church. Y'all know, Donna, I've known you since you were, knee high. But we were raised in the church, and I was able to see, I'll be 70 this year. I was able to see my brothers make it. Now, you know, Michael passed away a while back in the 90s.
Right.
Mark is coming through. I can see, raise them up in the way they should go. And when they're old now. Well, Michael's gone. Michael is 2 years older than me. Mark is 6 years younger than me. But I've watched Mark through the years. I just talked to him. He can't stop stopping folk on the street to give them scripture. Raise them up. I'm an elder at my church. Raise them up the way they should go. When they're old, They won't depart from that. So I'm still going through the process with my kids, although my kids are, you know, saved, but they're not old yet. When they're mm-hmm. old, they won't depart. And I thank God for that. Yes. And even the teaching. So that's all I had to say.
And adding to Carolyn, to what you had said, it was something for us to be raised up in the church. From us being raised up in the church, that just flowed from us to our kids. We taught yes. them exactly what we were taught, and it's instilled in them, you know, because like with Shannon, I was wondering, Lord, is doing any good? We're Rudy, Lord, you know, but it's in them. It's not like we didn't do what we were taught and what the scripture says. Once we train them, they're still in God's hands. Yes. Any other comments before we
let me say on? This real quick, and yes, I ma'am. Appreciate what Mother said too, what Lady Jules said, that I don't know it any other way. When yeah. I lost my son to cancer when he was 10 years old, I know that I will see him again. Had I had the opposite experience with a child, I don't know how I could handle losing one that I would think would be in hell. I don't. So yeah. I thank God for that. I thank God yeah. for that. So just, you know, sorry thank you, for what she said. No, no. Blessings just, to you.
Yes. I mean, because just like Sister Gay did say, she know where Roger is. And same with Shannon. I know where he is. There's no doubt in my mind because they did know the Lord. They knew him.
Yes.
In spite of, they still knew the Lord. So it takes, I mean, it gives us peace of mind to know where they are, where we're trying to get to. And I used to would think, oh, Lord, if I could just have my child back, or, oh, Lord, if I could just get Rudy back for just one day, why would I want them to come back to this?
Right.
You know, when you really think about it, why would we? When that's our hope, which is in Christ Jesus, and to make it to where they are.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Let me move on before I get way off. Anybody else with any comments before we continue to move on? Anyone else?
Sister Lana, it's just important for them to have that foundation so that when yeah. they do come up against opposition, they have it, the true word to compare it to know if the group they're getting ready to get involved with or whatever is leading them in the right direction.
Yes. Oh, very much so. And what's so important, especially in this day and age, the cults are so heavy and so strong right now. And, you know, scriptures say they can fool the very elect stake. So to me, it is so important that they are already out there with it instilled in them about the Lord. Now, they'll know when something ain't sounding right, just like what you were saying about Mark. Something wasn't sounding right because it's instilled in them. They know the real truth and the word. It's in them. It's just in them. Anyone else before we move on? Okay. I need, if somebody would find me just real quick, give me Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Something on us again. If someone has it, would you?
I have it. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth.
Okay. That's something that's passed on to the children. Obey your parents in the Lord. And it's so ironic. Shannon would use that on Rudy Jr. It would be like, boy, you going to hell if you don't do what mama say. Well, that was always to turn the attention from him to his brother, but it was the whooping that was coming to him. But he'd hurry him, throw that scripture out like this was really going to be something. But what stuck with me about him doing that was he remembered the scripture. He did really remember the scripture. Now, did he do the obeying? And he was doing life on punishment. Okay, he was doing life. But it was in him to remember that scripture. And for us as parents to have taught them, and this is something that came on to the children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, that scripture for them to mind and obey. What about discipline? Is that something we should do? Well, yeah. Discipline. Don't spare that rod. But of course, in this day and age, it's a little bit different, but we still, as the kind of parents we are, no, discipline still does rail. It definitely does. Any more comments or questions before we move on to our next scripture?
I agree with the discipline. We are to discipline our children.
Yes, ma'am.
Because we are not going to hurt our children.
Right,
We love them. And if they get in trouble, they're going to be disciplined by the other people of authority.
That's the way it works.
If you take anything that's young, it's going to grow or go the way it's taught to lean or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to bring our children to God, to Jesus. They can't be too young, you know. And the world is right there ready to grasp them as soon as they can. A child is able to pop their fingers and dance and do all this, everything.
Yes.
So it behooves us to try to teach our children in the way that they should go to Jesus Christ is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And since I'm talking, I'd like to say one more thing about, I'll use my children as an example. I have the three. I had the three, two left now. Brought them all up in the church, and I'm very glad to share my feelings about Roger. But I have another son. He's living now. He's not in serious trouble, but he's not as close to the Lord as I would like to see him. And I'm hoping he will get closer to the Lord, because right now I don't have that same assurance for him that I experienced with Roger before Roger died, because I knew that I'd heard Roger, you know, mention Jesus and coming back and living the life. So I'm still praying for my son. He's a little younger than Velma, but I brought both of them to church. I brought all three of them to church. Mm-hmm. And Roger was like so many of our children when they're 8, 9, 10 and whatever. He'd sleep half the time. His head was back on the pew and I'm trying to wake him up and all that. But still, we need to train up the children, because the world is ready to grasp them real early, and they can learn real early.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Sister Gay. I think Carolyn and some others can remember, and Marcia too, to me, some of the worst whippings we could get would be from church. Because, you know, they could get you there in church. I'll never forget Sister Shelby, Sister Powell. Well, then her name was Sister Powell, but I was chewing gum one Sunday over on Decatur Street. I was chomping down on that guy because it was bubble gum and it was good. I mean, oh, it was so good. It was that big bazooka bubble gum. I was blowing them bubbles and popping it. Now I'm in church and I was able to sit in the back kind of, you know, with my other buddies. And Miss Powell came down and looked down my row and she pointed to me and was telling me, take out that gum. And I was, you know, shaking my head. Okay, I did my hand. I like that. I didn't really want to take that gum out. And I waited till, you know, she turned around. I went back to it and popping them bubbles. Oh, Sister Powell came around on the other side because I'm closer to the inside out. She came around that out. She reached over there and snatched me up and took me on out. She popped me 2 or 3 good times. And she said, I'm going to tell Miss Singleton so she can tell your mother. And it's like, just don't tell my mama, whatever, don't tell Pauline, tell Annie, okay, I can get by with that with my great aunt, but just don't tell Pauline. She told Miss Pauline, oh, Jesus, that was one of the worst whippings I got. So you're talking about discipline? Yes, and them was the worst time. But I remembered that whooping, and it was a matter of, okay, you're going to do what you're supposed to do in church. You know what is right, and you're going to do it one way or another. So yeah, discipline from church, then what's the worst to me? Any other questions or comments before we move on, y'all? Kathy, how we looking? We good? Oh, good. We good. Okay.
We're good, Mark. We're good.
Okay, good. Okay. Let me pick up 18 Was there something else I wanted to say about the disciples? Oh, one thing I wanted to say about the disciples. Then to them, it was unimportant for these children to come. I mean, and they really looked at it like that. It was a matter of, we've been, you know, y'all might not understand, but we've been healing. We've been healing the sick. We've been raised the dead. We done done all this and all of that. And now here come these kids. Jesus ain't got time for that. To me, they never did quite understand yet who they were really walking with. They never really knew who Jesus really, really, really was until he was gone. And all of this finally all came back to them, who he really was, what he really was. And he was steady telling them all along the way who and what he really was. But it hadn't really hit yet. And to them, they was doing big time stuff now. I mean, you know, yeah, they was with Jesus. Yeah, and he was one doing all this and doing all that. But they hadn't taken it any further than that. It still had not hit them yet who and what he really, really was. So all of what they had been doing, that was big stuff. So kids coming, no, you know, he really ain't got time for that. But Jesus proved to them, any and all are important to him, and especially for the kingdom. And to make it a child, to use an example of a child, you know, if you don't become as one of these children, you cannot enter into the kingdom. What was so important about being like a child? Anybody, what's the importance of being like a child before you enter the kingdom? Anybody? Being as a child.
They just came freely without hesitation.
Good. Oh, good. That's one. Good. Anybody else?
Humble. Humble.
Humble. They're humble. That's two. Yes. Anything else?
There's, I think, the word I'm looking innocent for. The relationship.
Yes. Three. The relationship. I heard the word that I was looking for, too. Who said innocent?
Innocently accepting him.
Yes. They're innocent. All of the above. Yeah. And they're innocent. A child is just innocent. Yeah. This racist stuff that they know, it's what they've been taught. A child is innocent. Yeah. So to enter the kingdom, being innocent, humble, having that relationship, all of the above. I'm sorry.
And it's not that the sooner we come, the better.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think as a child, they, you know, look at it from a parent's side. They know who to go to when they need something. And the child knows to go to the parent. And that's the reason why we need to be like a child. So we know where to go. We can talk about benefits and blessings, but we need to have that kind of relationship. Just like a child knows to go to mom and dad to get some things they need, we now can go to our God the Father through the Son to get what we need.
Oh, very, very good example. Thank you, Sister Young. Very good example. Because that is our parent. That's our parent. That's what, that is from whence all of our help comes from. So yeah, and a child is always and only dependent on that parent or whoever is actually over that child. That's who they look up to. That's all they got. And Jesus is all we got. That's all we got. And that's who we do go to when we need him. Not just when we need him. We need to be with him at all times, having him right there. Any other questions or comments before we move on?
You think of all the benefits you receive. You think of all the benefits you receive as being a child of God.
Ooh, benefits. Ooh, good word, Miss Marcia. What are the benefits? Oh, I'm sorry.
This is Brenda Lewis, and I think that, you know, little children, they have the kind of faith and they trust needed to obey God and enter God's kingdom. And it's important that we introduce our children to Jesus, because, you know, their minds haven't really completely developed, but they don't have doubt.
Right, right. They come freely. I mean, there's nothing wrong. They come freely. They come freely. Yes. Oh, very good. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Marcia, going back to your benefits, what are the benefits of being a child of God? What are our benefits? Anybody, what are our benefits?
One is everlasting life.
Oh, okay. Everlasting life. Anything else?
Constant companionship.
Oh, very good. Oh, very good. Anything else?
And our weaknesses, he's our strength.
Oh, very good. That's a benefit. Yes, absolutely.
Unconditional Ooh. Love.
Oh, yes.
We should get an answer.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? I'm not hearing it too well.
Okay. That's Miss Sadie. Okay. What'd you say, Miss Sadie?
That when we pray, we are looking for an answer.
When we pray, we're looking for an answer.
Oh, very good. And we get it. We always get that answer. Oh, good, good. Okay. Oh, these are good. Anything else? Benefits. We're looking at benefits. Can we say it's a life insurance benefit? Ooh. We got a life insurance policy. No term.
Got a steady foundation.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, you know, when you're young and when you accept Christ, because now I was 8 years old when I accepted Jesus, and that was because I had a Sunday school teacher who would preach hell and damnation. So she scared me to death. It was a matter of, ooh, if you don't get to know Jesus, you're going to hell. And oh, she would go all into it. So she scared me into getting to really, really know Jesus. But I mean, I'm 8 years old, so I still got a long way to go. I got my teenage years, my partying years, all of that. But once saved, if you really saved, always saved. But I didn't realize and really understand all the benefits that came with walking up and accepting Jesus and shaking Reverend Wade's hand. I knew Jesus. I knew him. You know, back then you had to. You had to say something when you went down. So I think I said, I didn't want to tell him that Miss Manager had scared me straight from hell, but that I knew Jesus. I knew Jesus and I knew that he had died for my sins, not knowing all of the benefits that came with that. But as Carolyn was just saying too, all of that came with age and growing. We're a babe in Christ. Once you join or come and accept Jesus Christ, you're a babe in Christ. But growing through faith and with him, all the things that start coming into view. I mean, prayer. I knew we were supposed to pray, you know, as a child. I, you know, pray my goodnight prayers and all that good stuff. And I would pray every now and then, you know, a hard test coming or whatever. Ooh, Lord, help me get through this test. Not really knowing that I'm really praying and calling on him. I'm just saying this because I know, yeah, okay, he's supposed to be there. Lord, I need you. But the older I got and the sense of knowing what that prayer is saying and that some kind of way he's going to answer, it might not be the way I want him answered. Okay, maybe I flunked the test because I probably didn't study. But a lot of times the answer that he gives is not always the one that we want, but it's the one that we need. Okay, any other questions or comments before we get ready to try and move on?
Ivana, I want to make a comment too. Those of us that have been studying chapter 18 with Sister Sanders and we've been reading and all, and yes, I can't remember all of the examples, but with the disciples following Jesus.
Yes.
He's the teacher, the leader. Mm-hmm. And they were making mistakes, but yep, he corrected them. So this is an example when they were telling, take those children away, you know, like you gave some other examples a while ago of things they had done and Jesus had done. But Jesus was in his own way still telling us, don't send the children away. Let them come to me. They still had to be taught. And we as followers of Christ, we still are following him and want him to teach us. So this was a teaching he was given to his disciples, even though it was a bad mistake. They were saying, take the children, you know, get them away from here. But Jesus said, no, no, don't rebuke them. Bring them to me. And we know that's true right now. Bring those children, bring those babies. And I'm glad those ministers and all were preaching about hell and the fire. Mm-hmm. They need it now. They need to hear it more and more now. Mm-hmm. And I can see, and we can realize the enemy doesn't want us to say those things. Satan doesn't want us to say, he knows where he's going. He want to carry as many along with him as he can. And these infants and children, they are susceptible. Just like a plant, it's going to grow the way, whatever, whichever way it's leaning that way. So the disciples were being taught by Jesus in this mistake when they were saying, take the children away. But Jesus corrected them right then and there. And he's correcting us to bring the children. And I'm so glad that your teachers and my teachers and the parents could correct each other in those days. Now you can hardly say anything to someone else's child, and that's sad. You know, we can still pray for them, but
Sister Lana,
yes, ma'am, yes,
Brother Michael had his hand raised over in the corner. He got noticed. He took it off. But...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I stood up. Yes, Brother Michael, I'm sorry.
Yes, when you were talking about benefits, one key benefit is he knows what we need better than we know. Yes. Oftentimes, like when we fall into a problem or a situation, you know, we go to him in prayer and we kind of tell him, you know, what our desires are. Lord, we want you to fix it this way. Do this, do that. But one key benefit is that he's already got it figured out. And he knows what we need better than we know.
Yes. Yes, he does. Absolutely. Brother Michael, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overlook you. You just come right on in. But that's absolutely correct. He knows our needs. We know what we might want, but he already knows what we need, even before we ask. You know, good point. Oh, very good point. Thank you for that.
Sister Carolyn has her hand up.
Oh, okay. And, y'all let me know because I can't see everybody. Yes, ma'am. Carolyn.
This is actually Sister.
Oh, hi, Sister. Oh,
okay, Sister.
We know Sister came up from Pastor Wade from Salem. So I'm coming in. I'm coming from the place of being a child. Mm-hmm. And my mother always says it takes a village. And I respect the benefits of what Christ has done for me as a child. A lot of you have been a part of the village that raised me into the woman of God that I am today, because your mother, Lady Sister Pauline, I remember her during vacation Bible school, doing the on Fridays when we would have those drills in the sanctuary. And I remember going through the Beatitudes. Those are things that I have never forgotten. Mm. I remember how those that were in charge of the youth of the 100 Voice Children's Choir that I was a part of, I don't know if y'all still have it, but I was a part of that, and how we were told and taught the word of God, and how those are the first scriptures that we learned, and those scriptures that I memorized, I utilized, and because of the word that was instilled in me, because when you use that word and you stand on that word, you have a foundation. And when that foundation is settled, as that building is built within you, that when the enemy comes to try to knock it down, because that foundation that you guys established within me, when the enemy comes to take it down, it cannot be knocked down. Because what was already established from the village, the enemy can't knock it down. So I thank God for you as my village leaders. I thank God for y'all, because God put y'all in place for me so that I can take the next part and help bring those children up. Because God knows what he's doing. He's God. He's God.
Amen.
That's all I got to say. I'm sorry. I forget all excited about that. The village.
You sister. Y'all, that goes to back to our scripture. Train up a child in the way that he should go. There is that child.
Yes. There's that child that was trained up in the way that she should go. And look at her today. Okay, I'm trying not to go there. Trying not to go there.
Same, because I'm excited. Amen.
Okay, okay, Lord Jesus. Okay.
Mr. Kathy Piper, Ms. Lana.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, Sister Marcia. I just wanted to put another benefit that's been so helpful to me. I mean, it's my life. Forgiveness and cleansing, the washing away of shame and guilt and dirtiness, and that he adopted us even when we were dirty.
Oh, what a benefit. Oh, yeah, benefits. That's beautiful. Thank you, Sister Kat. That is beautiful. All that goes right there with it.
We would not want our children to miss out on those benefits.
No. And because the Lord has put it in us, we've been able to put it into our children. And what a blessing that is. Y'all, the benefits. I mean, y'all just ate up these benefits here. There was something I wanted to touch back on what Sister Gay had said about teaching, a teaching moment for the disciples. There were several teaching moments that Jesus had for the disciples, and that was one of them. And another one that really stood out in my mind with the teaching of those disciples, not getting far off, but being, you know, it's been mentioned, I can go there, but Bartimaeus was one of them. When Bartimaeus, being blind Bartimaeus, was sitting there waiting, couldn't see nothing, but had heard, he would have had to have heard about Jesus. And all he heard was the commotion and the voice. There had to be, and I've always said, there had to be something in that voice. And of course, we know there's something in the name, something about that name. But for Bartimaeus, it was that voice. And he knew it right away. And he called him. He called him out. And the disciples, here they come. Oh, boy, go somewhere else. Shut your mouth, ma'am. He ain't got time for you. Bartimaeus cried even louder. Jesus, Jesus. He called him until Jesus stopped and had him come forth. And the disciple, another teaching moment, Jesus still had the time to heal this blind man. But another teaching moment. But y'all, there's something about that name, and it had to be something about the voice of Jesus. I can't even imagine how he sounded. Well, of course, like a man, but yet there was a God in him. Okay, we ain't going there. Any other comments or questions before we move on? Boy, we didn't got this benefits down. I'm sorry. Yes, Miss Marcia.
The disciples seemed to share his face, but they didn't share his heart.
No,
that he had a heart for all people, children included. And because he spoke up on it, when he saw that they were rebuking him, the children, they actually got rebuked.
Yes, yes, they got rebuked. A teaching moment, as he said, yes. Anything else, y'all, before we try and move on? No? Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you, Sister Catherine. Okay, then I guess we're going to try and move on. There was something else I wanted to add, but we're gonna move on. We're gonna try and finish up just a little bit more. Okay, because I did have verse 18. Am I right? Yeah, oh yeah. Oh no. Okay. I really only have 15 and 17. So now we're ready to move on to 18. Was there someone else who had 18, Sister Marcia, that had been assigned? I can't hear you.
Sister Patricia Galvin, 18 through 27.
Patty, are you there? Is Sister Patty there? I don't think
that's Patty will that. Be reading 18 through 27. Sister Pat, Patricia will be reading 18 through 27.
Did you want me to read all 18 through 27 or just 18?
Let's read 18, and I'll just keep reading Patty until I say stop.
Okay. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?"
Okay, stop right there and keep, hold your tone. I like that because you left it with a question. Notice what it says. Now a certain ruler, it does not say a ruler of or this ruler did. It says a certain ruler. what do you think before we go any further? Don't cheat. But why would this be a certain ruler? Why is the significance of certain? I'm sorry.
Chosen.
Oh, good. Anything else? Yes. A chosen ruler. What's certain? We got chosen. Anything else? He was a certain ruler. Do you ever notice whenever you read a ruler of the Jews or a ruler of the kingdom or a ruler, blah, blah, but it's never a pre-addressed one that says a certain ruler. And he stood out because he was just that special, a very rich ruler, very well known, a certain ruler. Okay. And then that good teacher. Why in the world would you say that? A certain ruler. Oh, good teacher. Well, we'll see later that Jesus even called that out, but a good teacher? Really? Okay, Miss Patty, continue reading on, please. Okay, oh, but that question. I'm sorry, go back. After good teacher, read that for me one more time.
Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Okay, now he's asking that question. Okay, you tell me, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Okay, now the question is, before we read on, and I'm sure some of you already have read or know the story, but okay, that's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to know, how do I do it? I ain't saying I'm going to, but just in case I decide to, how do I do it then? Okay, continue on, Sister Patty. Oh, wait, hold up. Before you go, any other questions or comments you want to add on this before we move on? Because he gets deep. It gets deep. Okay, read on, Sister Pat.
So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God.
Okay, stop right there. Why did you say good? Okay, Jesus called him out. What? You say good? Where'd that come from? I ain't the one. Okay, that's not me. There is only one that is considered good. And it ain't me. He made that clear. He specifically wanted him to know, why you gonna call me good? I ain't the one. There is one, but it's not me. Jesus didn't already reprimanded him just the fact you will call me out. Hey, good teacher. No, that ain't me. I ain't the one. But there is one that is good. Only one. And that is God. Not me, but my daddy. Now, my daddy, he's the one. Okay, I'm sorry, Pat. Go on.
Mm-hmm. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
Okay, stop right there. He didn't tell him what he had to do. You asked, what do you got to do to inherit eternal life? Okay, Jesus broke it all down to it. I mean, broke it down. He went clear back to, okay, you know the commandments, you know, do not commit murder, blah, blah, this, blah, blah. Okay, you know all that. And I was taught that from my youth. Okay, then, the rest of what I'm going to tell you should come easy to you then, since you asked me, how do you do it? And you already abide by all of what I didn't told you. So now the last thing you got to do, just tell all your stuff. You rich, you all that, okay? But you want eternal life, then just give it all your stuff. That's all you got to do, sell it. Mind you, he's a rich certain ruler. Well, you asked the question, so there's the answer. So now what you going to do? What you going to do? Okay, and then, there was one more. Okay. If we go back to, and he said, okay, Kevin, Jesus said, okay. Then he said, you lack one thing. There's just one thing you lack. Since, okay, you know all the commandments. You know what all you have to do. So there's just one other thing that you lack. That is just sell all your stuff. Give it to the poor. And you'll build your treasures. You'll have treasures in heaven. And then All you got to do is follow me. After all that, that's all you got to do. And you will inherit eternal life. That's it. Okay, but let's see what he's got to do. Oh, wait, before you read on, Sister Patty, any other comments or questions before we move on? No? Okay, Sister Patty, finish that up for me. Go on.
But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Okay, stop right there. And when Jesus seen, oh, he was sorrowful. In other words, he was sad because of the fact what he had to do. He had to get rid of all his riches, give them to the poor. And it's a matter of, in his mind, you got to be thinking how he's thinking, like, I didn't work hard for all of this. What? That's like telling Buffett, okay, Buffett, you got to get rid of Berkshire Hathaway. You know, if you really are really trying to seek the kingdom, okay, really help the poor. It ain't a matter of investing in your company. It's a matter of helping the poor, giving to the sick, doing all this and that. And then just follow me. Okay, this is where he's at. That's the kind of status evidently he probably had, because now he was a certain ruler with riches. So in his mind, when it's saying sorrowful, he was really sad because it was a matter of he knew he wasn't going to give all that up. And then follow Jesus? You're asking a lot here. I'm sure maybe he's thinking that too. That's a lot. Do I really want to do this? Can I go there? Well, that's all Jesus is asking. That's all you got to do. But he's got all kinds of second thoughts going through his mind, and his final decision was no. But Jesus, he had so much compassion, and it was a matter of he's seeing what he was thinking. He knew what he was thinking, and yet Jesus was like, but, okay, I know you're sorrowful, and but how hard is it for you to do this? For a rich man to give away all your goods. I mean, it's like, I'm not asking that much. You asked me, how do you do it? And I told you. And yet, you still got these thoughts going through your mind. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. There was a passageway in Jerusalem called the eye of a needle. For a camel to pass through, camels were good for carrying all kind of goods, and they would be loaded down like on both sides. Well, they couldn't get through this passageway with all of the stuff that a camel would carry or was loaded down with, so they would have to unload the camel for him to pass through this needle. It was called like the eye of a needle. So they would have to unload him, whatever goods or riches he had, so that he could pass through, and then they would send all the goods back through the needle to load the camel back up. So this reference that Jesus is referring to for the rich man, he totally understood what he was saying. He knew exactly what he meant when he said passing through the eye of a camel. So for the rich man to think about all this, it's like, and he understood exactly what Jesus was saying. Okay, Sister Pat, any comments or questions before we move on? Because I see our time is winding down. Where did our time
go?
Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Whoever it was, go ahead.
Sharon, Sister Young.
I was just thinking that in my mind, I was thinking more that he could see through his heart. He knew that his wealth meant more, not how do I say that was a, that was his treasure, that was what was important to him. It wasn't, I don't think he didn't want to share it with anything. That was his God. And I think sometimes we, you know, we have certain things that we treasure and we don't want to give it up to follow Christ. And I think he's trying, it's a teaching moment to let us know that we have to submit all, and not necessarily the things that you know, all of your savings in the bank, to try and help, you know, the poor. But it's where your heart is, where you have a desire to help. And you, but it's not going to be the idol that you worship. And that's what I think this certain ruler had. He had this treasure, this, and he had already had his blessings on this side of glory. So he didn't, you know, he wasn't concerned about getting on the other side. And so I took it that way as a not to have anything before following Jesus, helping and serving others, not just building up my own checking mm-hmm. account.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Young. Sister Gay, did you have something?
Oh, I wanted to mention before you do your closing prayer, before we do our closing prayer, and before people start logging off, Sister Sanders was planning and wanting to teach tonight, and it was just a matter of 2 or 3 hours ago that we had to call on Sister Lana, who is ready and ready. And thank God that these are the verses, the beginning verses were the one that were assigned to her to be the reader, but God knew all the along. But Sister Sanders wanted me to tell the class that she's sick and she desires your prayers. She needs your prayers. So after we do the closing prayer, if we can get one person, don't know who that will be, but whoever the one person is with one prayer after our closing prayer for our teacher. But she wanted the class to continue on, and she'll be happy to know we had a wonderful discussion, because she know, and like all of us know, the word goes on. God wants his word to go on. So thank you for a beautiful night, each one of you that have participated. Now, I did want to say that for her. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Gay.
Lana.
Yes.
Sister Lana. This is Deacon Young.
Yes.
I wanted to go back to the part that the very last verse on the part that you read. Surely.
Okay, I turned it off.
Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will by no means enter it.
Yes.
I think that's to the adults. And basically what that's simply saying is it doesn't make any difference how old you are when you receive them. But you got to receive them, just like all those things that you guys named off before. Humble, innocent, like just like a child. Even if you're 60 years old, 70 years old, when you become like a child, that's how you enter. It's not the age.
Right.
It's the heart.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Deacon Young. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Sister Young, thank you too, Sharon, for bringing out that point. But I think everything that we covered tonight was very of great importance and significance. Sister Patty, we'll have to pick up with you, because you'll be the one to finish up to verse 27. We'll have to pick that up next week, if you don't mind.
Okay.
You all, if all our minds are clear, I want to, before I just close this out with prayer, will someone volunteer to do the prayer for Velma tonight, for our teacher? Can I get a volunteer for that? Anyone?
I will.
Okay.
Father God.
I'll close this out. And okay. Then, Young, then if you would pick it up. You all, thank you for being there and, I mean, assisting in everything that we did tonight. I appreciate that. All comments were just right on. And we thank the Holy Spirit for being in the presence. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, how we come loving and adoring your holy name. How we thank you for your presence, for your guidance, and for your direction. Lord, I pray a special blessing on each and every one that's assembled here on this Zoom tonight. Lord, bless them and keep them in the way that you and you alone can. Lord, cover them. I pray you would cover them with your protection. Keep them under your care and in your care, Lord. Bless them, I pray, and bless this class as a whole. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Sister Young.
Jesus' name, amen.